This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the pleasure of reading two Parshios, Parshios Tazria and Metzora. And Parshios Tazria, of course, opens up with the responsibility to bring karban when a woman has a baby. And then the Torah tells us that when a woman finishes her day of Tara for a son or a daughter, Tavi Keves Soliola, she brings a keves, a sheep, Ubenyona o tor lechatas, and then she brings a benyona or a torah dove or a turtle dove as a chatas. The question has to be raised as to why exactly she has to be bringing a chatas at all. What was the averis or of Rivlin Shalita, the former mashgiach and Karen Biavni, used to tell us that there were many possibilities that exist. After all, possibility number one, that she swears at the time she's having children from the pain. Possibility number two, that she paints the neshama of the baby by bringing it into the world. Or possibility number three, that she's atoning for the sin of Chava, which made the childbirth so difficult for women in the first place. And then after all of these examples, Rav Rivlin quotes the Shem Yishmuel, who notes that the mother who brings the child into this world now presents with a vacuum where the potential for life and the spiritual soul was. And that vacuum serves as a breeding ground for Tumah. And so the Yoledes brings a chatas not for a violation, for a transgression, but rather because it allows her to resume the partaking of kachet. There was no sin, but there was a tumah, says Rav Rivlin. The removal of the tumah presents her with a new status, and so therefore coming to the new status of the ability to come ahead and enter places that are kodesh, to give her an opportunity to partake of kachim, that's the reason for her bringing the chatas. That's the purpose for the chatas, and that it would be, according to the Shem Yishmuel, a misnomer that only a person who sins brings a karban chatas. As a proof, of course, one could cite the example of the fact that on Rosh Chodesh, which is today, we turn around and we bring a sirizim, echad lechatas. Who for whom is that chatas? So the Gemara Chulin says, it's a chatas la'Hashem. Why? Because al shahu miyates, al shamiyatati as halavana. Of course, God can't kaviyach all sin, and so therefore there must also be some different understanding on what a chatas is about. Then the Torah tells us afterwards, "V'krivo l'fnei Hashem mechiper aleha, v'tara mimikar darmeha," that the carbon gets brought. Zos taras ayoledes la'zachor la'nakiva. This is the storyline. That's the law for a woman who gives birth to a male or a female. And then the Torah doesn't end the parasha there. There's another whole pasuk, "Imlosim sayada deisa," that there's an opportunity for a woman who can't afford the original sheep. So what she should do? Why does the pasuk appear in the middle of the story? Why do we say "Zos Torah sayoledes" after the korban of the wealthier woman who has a child, and then the Torah digresses after this pasuk to speak of she who cannot afford it, or the korban? Why is the summary pasuk in the middle? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita explains that when the Gemara in the Darim notes that the carbon of the Yoledes applies whether she is personally wealthy or not, or whether only her husband is wealthy, the husband, says the Gemara, can bring a carbon Yoledes on behalf of his wife. And so thus the Pasuk summarizes here, Zos HaTorah, Zos Torah Yoledes. This is the rule, that this carbon has to be brought, that there has to be a keves. There's one exception to the rule where both the husband and the wife are not able to afford it. Then, in losim sayada, then we break from the rule. The Sar Shalom of Belz explained that Hashem was also giving a bracha to Am Yisrael here in general, that they should always be able to bring a karban yoledes from a perspective of wealth. The Torah continues and tells us in regard to the concept of a mitzorah, which takes up the majority of Parshios Tazria and mitzorah. So the Torah tells us that the Kohen should look at the nega on the body, and he sees the hair turned white. He sees the depth of the nega tsarasu v'ra'oa kohen, and then the kohen is supposed to check him, and then v'timeoso, he should make him tame. So there are two words of re'iyah in the pasuk, v'ra'ah kohen, and then v'ra'ahu kohen. So why is there a double stress on that? And why does it make a difference whether the kohen is looking versus looking at? What's the difference between v'ra'ah and v'ra'ahu? My high school principal, Dr. Morris J. Applebaum, used to tell us that every pronoun has to have a clear and obvious antecedent. What would be the who in the Vera'ahu? So the Meshech Chachma explains that there are two calculations that the Kohen must make in making his diagnosis of Tzaras here. First, he must see to it that the issue of Tzaras is even relevant. And then once there, that there is a diagnosis of Tzaras, there is a nega here, then he has to see if the person is one who is able to handle the diagnosis. The Gemara tells us, for instance, that a chasan would not be included in the diagnosis during 7 days of Mishteh. And since the Torah's ways are Drachah Adachinoam, the instructions are offered accordingly. Then later in the Pasha, we read about a crazy, crazy situation. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Daled that Kisavo El Aretz, when you come into the land of Eretz Yisrael, at the beginning of Parashas Metzora, we're told in Pasuk Lamed Daled, Kisavo El Aretz Kanan Asher Anis Neosin Lachem Lachuza. When you come into Eretz Canaan, that I am giving to you, I'm going to put a nega tzaras in your house. The question has to be raised. Rashi notes that this tzaras was a good sign. It was a besorah tova, that there was hidden treasure over there. But elsewhere, the Medrash Tanchum explains that tzaras on a house was a lesser punishment than tzaras on a body. But it was a punishment, right? So how are we supposed to make sense about this contradiction? Is tzaras a prize? Or perhaps a punishment? When one sees tzaras on the home, how is one supposed to relate to it? The great Mashgiach or Moshe Wolfson Shlita explains that it's both. Really, the tzaras on the home is meant to be an indication of a transgression. A person has to understand that in the majority of cases, the person did an avera for which he needs to be punished. And otherwise, Hashem could reveal a treasure in another way in a house. But in the same way, we don't want the punished to speak ill of others, and hence we have the situation of tzaras in the first place. We don't want people to speak of him publicly. And so thus, the means of hiding the punishment of the individual within the general opportunity that the tzaras as a blessing provides gives the individual a perfect cover to examine his own meaning on the tzaras of his home. He doesn't need everybody else to be talking. What he needs to do is realize, hey, there are two possibilities here. Whatever those possibilities were, right? Whatever those possibilities were, he would understand that something went wrong on his part. Later, towards the end of Parshas Metzora, we read about how there is a concept of Tara, and the ideas of Tara are included in the parsha as well. And so in that regard, we read about the Yadav L'shutaf B'mayim, and why would one think that the hands are unique in regard to the Tara process? So here the Gemara notes that this is a remez to the idea and concept of Netilas Yadayim, and the Gemara notes that hands are on the outside, so too the water needs to get on the outside, on all of the outside for Netilas Yadayim, and not the Beis Hasarim. And also, we learn that Maga Beis Hasarim doesn't count, that if something touches the inside, it doesn't create a situation. And both things we learn from the word V'yadav. So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita quotes the Prima Gadim, who says that there's a difference between an Asmachta and an Asmachta B'Alma. Here the Torah tells us V'Yadav L'Shutaf B'Mayim, and it's an Asmachta T'Nedilas Yadayim. What's the difference between Asmachta and Asmachta B'Alma? So Asmachta B'Alma is just a reference. Asmachta means that Hashem wanted it to be discovered and that it was written in a unique and special way. And that's the way it works with Netilas Yadayim over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to see that it was written in a certain way so we would relate to it accordingly. Finally, at the very end of the parsha, we read V'Sartam Es B'nei Yisrael Mi Tumosam, that we read of the possibility of Tuma, right? And that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to is supposed to warn B'nai Yisrael and protect them from their and separate them from their Tumah, right? What's the language of the Pasuk? V'lo yamusu b'tumosam, that they should not die in their state of Tumah, b'tamam es mishkani asher b'socham, es mishkani asher b'socham, when they defile my sanctuary that's in their midst. What's the need to mention that the Mishkan was in their midst? What do you need asher besocham? What's the message that the Torah is trying to give us with that pasuk in that regard? So the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slonim Rebbe Zatzal, explains that the reference here is to the heavenly portion that exists within each and every person. It's a famous poem that was written by Rav Hutner, Belvavi Mishkan Evne. There's a hint to that poem here as well. There's a heavenly portion that exists inside each and every person. And simply, Hashem can't handle dwelling in the Tumah within the person who's Tameh. And so therefore, what the Torah is trying to tell us over here is don't be Tameh on the inside. Don't create a situation of Tumah. And where it exists, remove it from yourself. Distance it from yourself. Finally, this Shabbos, we're going to read the Haftorah of the Arba Anashim Mitzrayim. And the Navi in Melachim Beis tells us that Gehazi's Tzaras was brought on by the false promise that he had promised to Elisha. But as we know, most times it happens because of Lashon Hara. So the Netziv writes that the reason that Tzaras doesn't afflict us today is that we wouldn't get the message. The sin that brings on Tzaras afflicts the soul. And Tzaras would bring on great physical pain and embarrassment that would disrupt the person's life. This, as Rav Pam, would be an early alert warning to change one's trajectory of life. And realize that if you have physical pain now, can you imagine what would happen if you don't change it? And we lose out, says Rav Pam. The fact that it doesn't happen today, that there is no tzaras, that becomes ultimately a major disadvantage, as the sin compounds and the ability to get beyond it becomes almost a Herculean responsibility. We have a lot of challenges in our life today, and Bezus Hashem will be able to overcome it and not only achieve a Shabbat Shalom, but a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Mnucha Lechaye Ha'olamim. Shabbat Shalom to all.